The tax man. The only vote that will truly count that you can cast 1 week from today, unless you live in New Hampshire, then you can be part of the revolution. That's another story. We'll talk about that. If you live in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, an extraordinary opportunity by virtue of some very, very bright, patriotic, courageous, industrious people led by Carla Hal are offering us the opportunity not just to keep more of what we earn that belongs to us, but honestly, more important than that, the opportunity to take back the reins of government for a moment, to take this runaway horse and to put the reins in our hands. We own the horse. The horse is there for us, and to whoa back a little bit. And that makes it far more important even than the very substantial thousands of dollars that we will receive if this is successful. What follows right now is the fairest, most definitive, most comprehensive discussion and presentation of which you are, of course, as usual, a partner here at 617-822-1969, 822-1969, Verizon Wireless callers pound 96.9 on 96.9 WTKK. I welcome back my friend and a very, very courageous and patriotic woman, Carla Howell. Carla, welcome back.
Well, thank you for that kind introduction. Happy afternoon to you.
Happy afternoon to you, too. I just believe that I don't know, you know, it's funny. You would think that I wouldn't perhaps be so naive after going on 10 years here. Because I really have believed, not in any overconfident way, Carla Hal, but I've believed from the moment I first heard you pick up this flag again, I really believed we could do this. And I must tell you, I was surprised, very unpleasantly, needless to say, I was surprised at seeing these polls. And I, as usual, given the source of the polls and all, I kind of refused to believe them.
Well, the polls in 2002, when we got 45% of the vote for our first question one to end the income tax, were coming in 8 to 21 points below the actual results.
Is that right?
Yep. They were way off. So
well, that's good to know. Unsurprising and good to know.
Yeah. I think we all know this has a chance of winning. It's probably going to be close. It's going to be very important for people to get out and vote. And I say to the people who have never voted or who rarely vote that this may well be the most important vote you ever cast in your lives. This is a vote that can truly change things in a very, very productive way for you, your family, and for the 3,400,000 workers and taxpayers across Massachusetts.
Carl, how I can think of three dimensions. And I think most of us, we the soldiers here, you're the general, but we soldiers can think of three dimensions. One is we get to keep more of the money we earn. It's ours. And we're now into the, you know, multi-generations of somehow being battered into believing that the fruits of our labors don't belong to us, that it belongs to somebody else. And then they give us back what they think is a good idea to let us have. And that's so deeply offensive to so many of us with families and who work for a living. Secondly, an opportunity to actually, again, control our government. I mean, the people who work for us, again, we've been battered into thinking that we work for them instead of the other way around. Spending is out of control. It's wacky. Here's an opportunity to actually do something about it right here, right now. And thirdly, and I think this is least important, but not unimportant, Carla, and that would be to send a message. This would be like another Boston Tea Party, would it not? Would not this be another shot heard around the world, or at least around the 50 states? Because even in the maelstrom of election day news, this would cut through. This would be a message that's an encouragement and inspiration elsewhere in America to like-minded citizens that something can be done.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think those are three of the most compelling reasons. And I would add to your second reason of controlling our government and cutting government waste that it's really gotten beyond just, I mean, saving tens of billions of dollars that we're now spending on government waste, overspending, and marginal programs that just aren't worth the money, where that money is just better off in your pocket, the pockets of the men and women who earned it. But we now have a situation where we have a financial crisis in this country, people losing large portions of the value of their stock, and a government, federal and state governments, that are just careening out of control with addiction to spending. And if we stay on this course and continue to give away lucrative government contracts and government employee pensions that are bankrupting the rest of us. At some point, it's going to just collapse. It's going to be unsustainable. And we have a choice by voting yes on one to have a controlled reduction and get us back to economic sanity and allow people to keep their hard-earned pay, or we can just let it continue to careen out of control, and we may start to see some of the consequences in our state government that we're seeing in the federal government with that is the result of rampant government spending.
On 96.9, our guest is Carl Howell, who you'll recall as a fierce warrior for libertarian values, a former gubernatorial candidate, and now a fiercer than ever warrior for our money and the principle that the government is ours. If you have questions for Carla Howell, and believe me, if they're challenging and you're skeptical, I'm sure I speak for Carla when I say she wants them all the more, because it's so important that you know, you feel confident that this is the right thing to do. 617-822-1969 Verizon Wireless customers, #969. You'll never have a more direct opportunity to get the real deal than right now. Dr. Parker, you let me know, if you will, as people call to ask that. And Carla, my question, I'll be the stalking horse here, and I'll say, I suspect deeply that the person they told me would appear tomorrow morning on nationalized public radio to talk about this is you. So I don't want to queer the pitch for you or anything, but I will tell you, I finished saying earlier, I listened incredulously to a long 6, 7, 8 minute segment this morning on nationalized public radio, and I said, okay, I know I'm going to be angry after this because of the way our side is portrayed. Carla, I don't know if you're familiar with the piece, but there was literally not a mention, not a recognition of the other side, that's kind of a sidebar, which leads to my question. Naturally, the entire segment, the entire feature was a tale of woe. All it was missing was this theme from the Volga Boatman in the background. You know, I imagined us chained up, hammering big rocks into little rocks. But this is it. End of the world. No more police. No more firefighters. Beyond our control, like the nuclear button, we're going to touch it. Everything, life as we know it, is going to explode. For people who have been beaten into that sort of, or battered into that perspective, please respond to that canard.
Well, it's the usual sky is falling, and I actually haven't seen the piece that you're talking about. I was interviewed for something that will air tomorrow, but the segments they put before and after, I didn't even get to see. And my experience in observing them recently is that they're highly biased. They're very, what I would say, against question one, this tax cut for you, as are many in the mainstream media, but luckily not all of them. Thank you, Jay, and others at WTKK in particular. But I think I want to address two of the.
By the way, before you move on, I would like to think that within the spirit of the law, if not the letter, that at the end of a nationalized public radio presentation of something like this, that literally, again, without mention or recognition of the other side, that they might say at the end, by the way, in the interest of full disclosure, we receive a portion of our income from your taxes.
That would be certainly appropriate. And in fact, all of the opponents to question one by and large, and certainly the ones who are funding it, 99.8% being funded by government employee unions, all have a financial stake in keeping the state government taxes and spending very high. The businesses, so-called business groups that oppose us, they're financial corporations who hold the billions of dollars that the state government spends every year, and some of their retirement funds. Their banks that do business with the state. Their building contractors that get big construction projects. These are the so-called businesses, or they're professionals who get various kinds of business government granted privileges. So these so-called business groups are, in fact, in bed with the government, as are, of course, the government employee unions, who are getting absolutely obscene government pensions that you can learn about by going to our website, smallgovernmentact.org. But there's another line of attack that they've really been pushing in these postcards you've been getting in the mail about your property taxes. Now, let's get a few things straight here. If you can bear with me for a few important numbers, The state government spends $47 billion a year, and only 5 billion, 8 or 9% of that goes to the cities and towns. They've got $42 billion where they can cut $12 billion out of that we now pay in the income tax. So it's a complete lie that they have to raise any other tax, or especially property taxes. Now let's look from the perspective of the cities and towns. They collect $22 billion in addition to the $5 billion that they get from the state government. 19% of what they spend comes from the state government. But now let's look at the level of the individual town. You live in a town, and you and the other people in your town pay a huge amount in income taxes to the state government every year. For every dollar you pay in, 40 cents comes back, not to your town, but to your town and city governments, which means it doesn't necessarily go to you. It goes to the government employees and their retirement packages in your town. It goes to building contractors in your town. So you're lucky to see 40 cents back. You might see 10 cents back, 5 cents back in actual value. So let's say the very worst was going to happen, and they actually increased property taxes commensurate with how much they might take away in aid. Well, you're better off by at least 60 cents to 90 cents on every dollar based on what is currently happening with your tax dollars. They're only handing back a very small fraction of it to the city and town government.
And Carla, is this not derivative of the, you know, the not oversimplified dynamic here that given a dollar or $1,000 or $3,700, who best and most appropriately, not only a matter of finance, but as a matter of morality, who best and most appropriately can spend the average $3,700? Do I have that number right?
Yes.
The average $3,700, and I might allow that members of this audience is greatly in excess of that. Who most appropriately decides how to spend that or whether to spend it, whether to save it, spend it, burn it, throw it out the window? Is that not our money?
Well, of course, that sure sounds like a rhetorical question, but I think common sense says that when you spend your own money, you spend it best. You spend it wisely. You have a vested interest in ensuring you get value for that money. You give it to the government, and who knows where it's going to land. It certainly, in many cases, is not being spent with your best interest in mind, or even the best interest of the people they allege to be helping, because so many of the 538 government agencies just in the Massachusetts state government, some of them are actually doing more harm than good, or they're just wasting so much money, they're just not worth having.
It is sad to me and deeply offensive, this notion that any, and again, it's just stupid, the notion that, okay, here we have $3,700, it's yours, you earned it. Now, who can spend this in your best interest? The ludicrousness of the notion that anybody can spend that money better than I in my best interest. Just right there. The government, the argument oughtn't go beyond that. All right, Carla Howell, speaking of money, we're not a not-for-profit organization here. We're a proud for-profit organization, and that happens by virtue of this break and our superior sponsors that we're about to, whose great services and products we're about to laud. When we come back, we'll go to the phones, your questions, and please, have as much a challenging question as you can, because only by knowing confidently that you've got the true story on this can we know together here. I mean, you notice the strange bedfellows. No one supports cops more than I do, for instance, but I notice cops have jumped into this fray. You know, it is when money's involved, it seems to me principle all of a sudden goes out the window, and no one supports police officers more than I do. But I was very disappointed to see their commercials on the air. When it comes to something like this, all of the municipal employees all gang up on us, and it's very troubling and it's very unfair. Carla Howell is the courageous patriot leading this fight to help us keep what we earn on Proposition 1. Ballot question number one, and with her, we will speak again in just a moment on 96.9. John, Paul, George, Ringo, and Carla Howell, that is, here on Boston's Talk of Evolution, 96.9 WTKK, 617-822-1969, Verizon Wireless callers, pound 96.9. Vote yes on number one for reasons appropriately selfish, purely and appropriately and blessedly selfish of the self for you and your family, and secondly, for those of us who are civics inclined to want to take control of our government and not just merely send a message, quote unquote, but to actually take control of the thing that takes our money and works for us or is supposed to. Carla, we have a lot of people eager to speak with you, and I was just discussing with Dr. Parker. We'll talk to you. Dr. Parker will talk to you, but if we have something that's worthwhile to do as an update, We'll have a conversation every day between now and Election Day.
Oh, great. Sounds wonderful.
If that will help, because this is so terribly important, and I think terribly important even beyond when a lot of us are so busy breaking our butts every day to work and haven't had time to think about all these things. This is the most important vote that many of us, the partners in this broadcast, can cast a week from today. Thomas, thank you for your patience. You are on with Carla Howell, and welcome to DKK.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I must say, I'm a very strong supporter of question one. I'm behind you guys 100%.
Good.
Philosophically and morally. However, I'm considering staying home on Election Day because from my perspective, the system just doesn't work. For instance, in 2000, we voted to roll back the state income tax to 5%, and the state legislature ignored the people's will. So my question is, what sort of legal proceedings or repercussions do we have available if question one passes, yet our reps take it upon themselves to say they have better judgment than the voters?
Thomas, that's a great question, because I heard something this morning about this, that this might happen. They might just, you know, give us the middle finger and overturn it the next day. Thomas, thank you for that question. Carla?
Thanks, Thomas. That's a question on a lot of people's minds, and I think that there's a lot of good news there. First of all, this is going to be something that the legislature has never had to deal with before, and even our opponents are saying it's very much at their peril that they would undermine this law, because unlike, say, the Clean Elections Law, which most people actually disagreed with once they put it on the ballot in a way that was worded more fairly, they were overturning the will of a minority. In fact, a majority did not want that law. In the case of the 2000 tax cut, the rate was at 5.95. They lowered it twice just in response to the ballot initiative because of the pressure of the pending vote. And then two-thirds of the law went into effect. It went down from 5.95 to 5.3. They only repealed the last 0.3 of that. And that 5.3 rate has stood ever since. We designed question one to go into effect within 14 months of the election. You get a 50% tax cut this January 1st, and the rest of the income tax goes away 1 year later. That's the time frame in which the 2002 tax cut went into effect and has stayed into effect since then. So they're going to be faced with something they've never dealt with. Not only is there precedent that they will, in fact, implement it in this short time frame because it's close to the election when it's fresh on people's minds, but they are going to be dealing with people expecting a tax cut, $3,700 a year, half of that starting January 1st. They've never dealt with people with this high of an expectation. They are going to make the Grinch who stole Christmas look like the Easter Bunny if they mess with this law, if a majority votes for it. So,
Carla, consistent with my great wish that we live to see tax day move to the first Monday in November. You know, proximity to Election Day. I mean,
yeah.
I would love to see that. You're right. When there's a direct and proximate, I should say, relationship, that means a great deal. So in short, you have confidence that if we're able to do this, that it can stand up.
There certainly is a very strong possibility of that. Don't miss this vote. This is going to be the most important vote that you've ever had in your life, and make sure everyone you know who wants a tax cut gets out and votes as well. Our opponents are very good at making sure 100% of those that live off the largesse of government go to the polls and get their uncles and neighbors and cats and dogs to vote. We need to make sure we vote. Those people who've given up on the process, who are resigned and disenfranchised, this is the time to wake up and realize that this is a vote that will really matter, that will have a huge impact. It will set back government spending from $47 billion to $35 billion. They may still try to raise taxes and play the games that they're doing already anyway, just as they're already doing, but we'll set them back $12 billion that'll go into your pockets, not just once, but every year.
Carla Howell, this is patriotic porn. I mean, I love this. And you please do speak with Dr. Parker. I agree with you. This is the most significant and most and the most worthwhile and the most directly beneficial vote in so many ways that so many of us here at 96.9 can cast this year. And I include in saying that, unfortunately, the presidential race. It's something that we just can't pass up an opportunity like this for a number of reasons. So you are welcome back as frequently as you'd like between now and Election Day. Thank you for being here. We will talk again soon. Best and brightest.